Hi, this is Jeff Seymour, and welcome to the podcast. Today, I'm going to offer up a little advice for the best way to keep on keeping on. I'll explain. Before we get started, I want to remind you all that November is coming up here, and I will be in Australia for the entire month. I'm really looking forward to it. I'm going to start out in Sydney and then over to Melbourne and Adelaide and then Brisbane. And I've added something new to the calendar. In Melbourne, on the night of November 5th at the Cromwell Road Theatre, I'll be doing a free class lecture demonstration evening. It's open to everyone. Admission is free. You just need to email me at jeff@reallifeactor.com, and I'll put you on the list. Apparently, the Cromwell Road Theater is a beautiful theater, newly acquired by the Red Stitch Actors Theater there in Melbourne, and I'm doing this in association with them. So it should be a great evening. There's plenty of space. Please feel free to come and see it. And I may be also adding a free evening like this in Sydney coming up real soon. That would be on the 1st of November at 7 p.m. If you're interested in attending that, email me and I'll be able to give you the details. That's just coming together right now. Otherwise, I'm doing weekends in each of these spots, my two-day intensive, and I'm looking forward to it. So if you want any information, just let me know. The other day, I took myself to see a matinee that my good friend was in, and he's a quite capable actor. He's always entertaining, no matter what play he's in. It's always worth it. So I accepted his offer, and I went to a matinee out in beautiful Santa Monica. Beautiful day. I had the top down in the old jalopy, and it was lovely, and the show was very funny, and then I thought I'd take myself out for a coffee at a favorite coffee shop nearby, and as I got down there, I could see the place was just packed with cars and things, and where am I going to park my car now, and maybe I shouldn't get this coffee. And then right in front, there were these two parking spaces, but they had those big, you know, white signs that say, temporary no parking. But I've been fooled by these before, so I stopped in the spot, in the parking spot, and just studied what it said. Because most people don't read what they actually say. They just see temporary no parking. And if there's no car there, well, apparently there's no parking. But I read that the date on it was actually for the next day. So I read the signs again and again. I thought, make sure this isn't a trick. You know, I've been here before, and I've done this, and I've been caught somehow. I didn't read the sign, that third sign, carefully enough. So I really read them very slowly and saw that indeed the parking space was open right in front of my favorite coffee shop. I can walk in, come right back out, and continue my journey. I even saw the little green light flashing on the meter. I could see it from where I was sitting. I thought, this is a perfect day. I went in and got my just right coffee. I came out to my car and got in it. And as I did, I saw something on the windshield, and there was a ticket. A ticket for $53. Yeah, while I was so sure of every other little thing, while I was so careful, I even saw the green light flashing. You know what? In my hurry to high-five myself, I forgot to get out and go and look and see just how many minutes were left. Apparently not many. Because apparently that went from green to red really quickly. And then old Jeff got a $53 parking ticket. It made me think a lot about the game of life. About how we deal with life and the perspective that we need and how it's all about perspective. And it reminded me that recently I've had a lot of conversations with actors I'm either training or friends or Skyping with who I've heard many stories of woe recently. You know, about how to get to the next moment, what to do, you know, how do I find a good agent? You know, I screwed this up. I thought I was going to get that. I was right down to the wire for this huge movie. And so many things. There's just so many blows to the gut in our industry. I've heard so many different stories recently. You know, it's funny. I heard one where a woman who's been at it for quite some time now is finally getting big parts. And, you know, auditions, I mean, for big roles, you know, many pages of dialogue-heavy stuff, you know. Now she's being asked to, you know, hit her mark and really deliver tons of stuff. And oddly, of course, she was complaining about it, afraid of it. She doesn't know what to do. She's tightening up. She's, what do I do now? And I think, isn't this remarkable? We all sit around thinking about it, you know, a chance to be a star, to do stuff, to have our own TV show, our own be a movie, you know, do big role after big role. And as soon as that time comes, we shrivel up and tense up and go, oh my goodness, now what do I do? What if I fail? Yes. Yes, what if? Yeah, absolutely, what if? Yeah, I guess the what if's what it's all about. You know, at the risk of sounding like an idiot, I'm quite used to taking that risk, but I don't know if there are many jobs in the world that can mess with your head and be as difficult to succeed in as the entertainment industry. And when I say succeed, of course, I always mean to where you make an income that's good enough for you to live a life that is, you know, good enough to be comfortable, to just have food and have things paid on time and be able to sleep without the anxiety of possibly losing it all if you don't get a job by, you know, X, Y, or Z. I mean, to have a comfortable living. It seems kind of silly because it seems like such a frilly, silly little make-believe, put on makeup and go with funny wigs on and entertain people. That could be the case, but I do believe it certainly is. It is the one that attacks you, really, really. It's very personal, you know. It can be, of course, because the criticisms are all about how you look, what you know, all that stuff. It's just very, very personal. It's nothing that you create and it's over there, or something that I, which business I do, and, you know, there's a lot of responsibility and many other things. No, it generally boils down to, singularly, the actor. You know, you're good, you're bad, you're ugly, you're fat, you're too skinny, you're too dumb, you're too old, you're too young. You know, there's just, it's kind of a personal affair. And because, you know, you can go from 0 to 60 in your station in life by, you know, I guess becoming a star. It's like lottery tickets, you know, suddenly there can be a surge because it's like, wow, if I could just make that happen. And so tons of competition. You don't necessarily have to have any, you know, diploma or verifiable skill. You can walk in and you can be a star. So it attracts a lot. It's a lot like the lottery. And unfortunately, the chances are just about the same. And so this anxiety hangs over many actors' heads, you see. It is such a willy-nilly ride to begin with, you know. It's such a haphazard, who knows, mystery of tumbling tumblers that all need to line up 15 in a row, and then we get into the next room, and it's, or they'll make you a star tomorrow. You got your own thing, and you do well, and you live happily ever after with a wife and a bunch of kids that look like their parents, and it's a lovely thing. It's actually that part of it, too, that makes it so gut-wrenching all the time, you know? The expectation of all at once or nothing at all. That's a lot of stress there, man. And then to be trying to, in our guts, know that we're trying to go after something that is almost silly in its presumption, that we could actually get there, we could actually do that, that we're worthy of that. And we try and calm that by saying, no, I'm in it for the art. I'm you know, listen, I want to be a great this and that. I want to tell great stories and everything else. All the noble shit, which I think we really do mean when we say it. But we can't help but have just one eye in the direction of the comfort, the fun, the adulation of becoming one of the chosen. That's some incredibly tempting loot at the end of a rainbow. It really is. Things can change overnight. You know, that's one of the things I've actually said I've loved about it, is that, you know, one of the cool things about this particular game is that there's always the outside chance that by next Thursday, you could actually be in a new gig. You could actually be on a new show. You could actually even have a big part in a show. You could get a movie. Things can happen quickly. And we look back and we think, boy, was it just 2 weeks ago? I was thinking, how the heck am I going to pay for my rent? And then here I am. I mean, that's kind of one of the cool things about it. And it's also one of the things that drives the anxiety. It's almost like being in a high-stakes poker game where it can all shift with a draw of a card or two or three, and the pot goes in your direction. You know, I mean, I think this is all a part of it. It's all going on. It's all very, very, very difficult. And you have to be so nimble. And you have to have such great finesse and attitude and gamesmanship. It asks for everything. You know, incredible commitment, belief, desire. I mean, it is, oh my goodness, man, I think you have to have such copious amounts of all of these things, plentiful, plentiful amounts of it, always on tap, because otherwise it's hard to get where you're going. I think all of these facts, actually, are what constantly nip at the heels and at the confidence of the actors that I'm always dealing with, you know. It is the thing that drives all of it. You know, I had an incident with one of my students the other night, who's also taking an improv class. And I guess the improv teacher was particularly cruel with her on this evening for some mistake that he had imagined she had made or had made, whatever. And was kind of a soul-crushing in the way that he dealt with her. And she was still hanging on to it. Very, very understandable, man. Of course, of course. And then later she said that that she had run into some other people who had taken the same class, and they called the teacher out for similar behavior. Basically just backed up everything she felt, that it was unwarranted and the guy was, you know, out of line to speak to anyone that way. And I could see it really upset her, and it had shook her, and it had kind of, disrupted her confidence. And I was seeing that on display in the class, from someone who handled herself differently on the other nights. And so I addressed it. Right up front, I said that no teacher, any good teacher, should ever have anyone feel this way. That should never be the point of the class. Criticism and just being a critic is one of the easiest things. It's easier to tear something down than it is to build that thing up. So, you know, for me, that's just lazy teaching. And so I could see that she was still hanging on to it. And obviously it was being brought up because she was looking for a way to deal with it. She needed to process it. She was aware that she was hanging on to it, and she wanted to get rid of it, obviously. And so she brings it up. She wants to, you know, some back and forth that'll help quell this sadness and that she's feeling suddenly. All I could tell her was simply this: you need to stop that. Why? What does it matter? Who is this guy? And what did he say? It's such an arbitrary thing. Who knows? Is he smart? Is he stupid? Does he know what he's saying? What does it matter? Was there any truth in what he said? If not, forget it. He doesn't rule the world. He's not the decider of how fate. This is just a person. And it made me think about how important the game of life is and how important it is that we always remain aware of the way we deal with life's hiccups, speed bumps, and tragedies. You know, we are supposed to be these sensitive instruments, really, that have such sensitivity, you know, emotional reflexes, that, you know, we're so tuned in to the human condition and everything. And yet we're put into this industry where the things that come at you that attack that sensitivity that we have, you know, the very thing that we're supposed to be open and sensitive to the world with suddenly gets attacked. And it's such an odd thing, you know. We have to be the most resilient, yet we have to be the most sensitive. And and navigating between these two, and the when and the where of, it can become incredibly difficult. And this is what I think plagues most people. You know, when I was speaking with the actor in class that had the problem with this teacher, I said, look, at the end of the day, you have to decide whether or not the feelings that you're having right now are beneficial for you or not. And if they're not, you have to get rid of them. You have to just get what you can, whatever the lesson is from the moment, if there is one, and then you have to move on. Because the fact of the matter is, I think you would agree, when you're in this mood, you're not a good player of life. You're not going to be good at class tonight. It's going to encumber you. It's going to keep you from having a clear enough head to memorize your lines, to show up with the right spirit, to be able to get some good work done, to make the best use of the money you pay for the class that you take. I mean, I know this seems very kind of black and white and simple, but let me tell you something. It is very black and white and simple. It is a choice. And if you say, you know, you really have no choice, well, then you've made the choice. You've made the choice to have no choice. And that's the way it is. I don't begrudge anyone their feelings. I mean, the sadness she was feeling, I in fact said, you know, I know I go through things all the time, obviously. And recently, for the first time in a long time, I actually kind of snapped at someone at a facility I was at who I felt was giving me a hard time. And, you know, afterwards, of course, I felt like a baboon about it because I just don't behave that way. I don't really see myself that way, but there it was. But then I reminded myself that I actually am a thespian. You know, I'm an actor. And I thought, hey, it's okay, man. I don't want to get to a point where I think that I'm playing the game so well that I'm such an even-keeled person that, you know, nothing bothers me. I'm also a little wary of that because I'm afraid that I'll just get out of touch with what it's like to have real, you know, emotions that can snap and that can do things. In a way, maybe it's a cop-out, I didn't want to lose what that felt like. And so that's one of the ways that I justified my abhorrent behavior in that moment. But what I told the lady was something similar, and that is, you get sad, you feel this way, hey, go for it. You know, we're not robots. You feel this way, you're this instrument that's supposed to be so sensitive, okay, that hurts you, and then let it go. Because, you know, after a few hours, anything after that is an elective you're taking. It's a choice you're making. You're deciding to hang on to it. So here's today's offering. Why don't you look at it this way? You know, I've used the board game analogy before, saying that, you know, if you looked at life like a board game and you could step away from it, if you could just stand away from it and see the game in front of you and see the playing pieces and the cards and, you know, what you have on your side and what you're trying to do and then what today's cards you chose were and, you know, how you're trying to develop your strategy, just like in any one of these crazy video games that I never play, but apparently people play with each other around the world. If you could look at it that way, I bet you that the lows of the game would affect you less. You know, let's pretend like we're playing a board game and it's called Movie Star Maker. And, you know, there's dice and you land on spots and they say, get a good agent, get a lousy agent, lose your agent, get a job. You know, you keep rolling and landing on the space that says nothing, 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 nothing. You just get like this really bad run of nothings. And I have to tell you, there's a lot of nothings on the board. And the cool things to get the agent, get the gig, those are far and few in between. And there are many steps to get them. And you have to have a certain amount of cards and you have to roll a certain amount of times and you have to land on a certain sequence of spaces. And then there's a thing that you have to spin. And there's also a little deal that rolls around. And then, you know, you got to pick this card and you got to have three of those cards and two of these cards. And, you know, there's a lot to it. I want you to imagine how you'd play that game if the deal was that at the end of it, you know, you're going to become the movie star maker and you're going to have your own show. You get to choose. There's like one of three things and four doors. And, you know, it's a whole lot of fun. Imagine how you would play that game and how you would deal with landing on the spot that said, found a parking space, but forgot to put money in the meter, $53. Money that actually had to come out of your pocket, you would look at it a little differently. I know I did. I did. I tend to do when those things happen to me, I say, you know what that was? That was a $53 seminar on always check how much money's in the meter. That's what that was. And I realized that not too long ago, I actually had another $73 seminar when I parked on street sweeping day and got a ticket there. When I put it in the frame of their seminars that are trying to teach me something, the bite wasn't quite as bad. The only objection I had was really was the cost of these seminars. I think they're just a little high. But apparently I'm not spending enough on these seminars because I hadn't learned the lesson yet. When we're playing these board games, you know, we don't really take them personally. We get excited about the gamesmanship of it, about being able to play, about rolling the dice, about seeing what happens. Yeah, we get upset when we land on the bad space, when we get the parking ticket, when our tire goes flat. But the people that are fun to be with don't lose their spirit. It's definitely tough. Life always gives you the test first and then the lesson. You know, the only good part about that is that if you remember the lesson, then the next time you were tested, you've actually had the lesson first. That's the beauty about having these experiences. That's the beauty of having to go up against incredible odds and figure out that next moment in your life. Figure out how you're going to put together the funds you need to be able to live, to get the thing, to have your car fixed, to get your agent, to get that good audition down on tape. Whatever that task is, the stuff that gets you better and better at it are those moments in life when you have struggled, when you have failed. That's the stuff that gives you the steel to be able to continue. I've said it before on these podcasts, but I tell you, the only thing that keeps my sanity and keeps me keeping on is when I come up against something that doesn't work out, or, you know, you landed on that bad spot on the board and a bunch of things didn't go well in a row. The first thing I think about is, how gracefully can I handle this next moment? That's really what I think about. I just don't think about how I'm going to handle it, or, oh, what am I going to do now? That's the obvious stuff. What I do is I think, how can I most gracefully handle this? And to me, when I say gracefully, I mean with the least amount of stress on myself, with the least amount of agitation and irritation and hand-wringing and everything else. Like I say in my book, I just think about flying the plane. I don't want to get distracted. It is so easy to succumb to these things, to the fears, to the irritation of what you're going through in your life. But if you just succumb to it, if you just say, woe's me, look what happened, look at the space that I landed on, and, you know, throw your dice across the room and walk away from the table, hey, man, you know what? Allow yourself that. But know that it's a choice. That's all. Just know that it's a choice. Know that this is a decision. This is how you're deciding to handle the situation. And there's no shame in that. It's your life, man. Do what you want to do about it. But then you don't get to complain about it all the time as if there was no other choice or no other way to handle it or no way to get out of the funk that you're in, because of course there is. So at the same time that you're admitting to being in a funk, know that what you're saying is, I've chosen to be in this funk. There's no problems. Some friends are a lot more accommodating of this type of behavior than others, but, you know, that's what it is. My only message is, know that's a choice. Just know that's a choice you're making. That's all. It's a choice. And before you say to me, well, you have no idea, you know, how bad my life is, I'll say to you, I guarantee you there are people out there with a worse life that is getting more out of their life. So, you know, it's all relative. It's all how we look at things. When I look back at the things that I've accomplished in my life, I realize that what I'm most excited about, or what I'm most proud of, is not the moment itself, not being in the show that I created and being able to work on it every day, although of course that was a joy. But I think the fondest memory, the one that I am most proud of, was what I did, what the journey was getting to that moment. Now, at the same time, I can look back at that journey, getting to that moment, and tell you that it was fraught with so much anxiety, so much trouble, so many ups and downs and ins and outs and, you know, what was going to happen. And I can think about any production I put together. I can think of countless times, a few nights out before opening, how are we ever going to get there, the night before opening, the morning before opening, how is this ever going to come together, how is this ever going to work? And then I think about the show that was, you know, perhaps a great hit, you know, did really great box office at my theater. And I think, yes, that was fine. But, you know, it was that struggle and the way that we problem solved and got through it. At the time, it seemed like a nightmare. In retrospect, it's the sweetest portion of the whole thing. We think about trying to get to these moments where we no longer have to worry, where you know, we don't want to have to ever lose a night's sleep over, you know, what's going to happen next or how am I going to survive. We think we want to get to these moments, and then we do, and suddenly we look around wondering what it is we can do next. What can we get done next? What is the next thing we can do? You know, on the journey up the mountain, it's really hard to appreciate what you're doing until you get to the top of the mountain and look down. Then it's very sweet. Then it's amazing. Then it's everything you'd want your soul and your spirit to feel. But on the way up, all you can think about is how arduous and horrible and dangerous. And when you lose your footing and you fall back, you know, 25 feet and have to go back up again, or when you're injured and you have to wait and you have to go through these things, it can all seem somewhat like a nightmare until you get to the top and then you look down and you realize what you in fact have accomplished. When I think about what it is that we possibly end up with at the end of life, all I can think about is that, yes, for all of the things you might have acquired and houses you might live in or toys you may have gathered together, the one thing that's for sure, the one thing that's absolute, the one thing that's going to be a major portion of this booty is who you've become. How many problems did you solve? How did you do it? Did you do it gracefully? Who are you now? What wisdom do you have to offer other people? You know, if we started looking at every speed bump, every single problem that we encountered in this industry as yet another opportunity to prove our mettle and to problem solve with grace, to really figure it out, if we could stand back and look almost like we were hired, you see, we were hired like some outside advisor to say, okay, let me see your cards again. Okay, and what's the board look like? Okay, let me see the dice. Okay, let me look at the board again. Okay, here's what I think we got to do. First of all, quit being sad because you're not going to be a good player if you do that. Secondly, here's what needs to happen and here's how we're going to get it done. When you start adopting that kind of an attitude, that kind of a perspective, what's naturally going to happen is all of those little sharp, prickly aspects of life that we tend to, you know, prick our fingers on and that tend to be painful kind of go away a little bit, because now we're not taking it so personally as much as we're looking at this wonderful opportunity to develop who we are and see how well we can problem solve and how gracefully we can get through these problems. And the reason we want to do that is because I think you'd have to agree with me. It is much more fun to be having fun in life and to be in a lovely mood than it is not to be. Right? And if we all agree that we generally, as creative souls, as creative people, we are better at what we do when we are in that state of being, then why on earth would you not do everything in your power to manage yourself in such a way that you would be in that state so you could absolutely do the best work? You know, don't kid yourself. As you rise up the chain of command, as you move up in this industry, those pressures, those problems, those trials and tribulations can have a much greater impact on everything that you've acquired, everything that you are, everything that has happened to you. If you can't handle problems on the way up, I promise you those same problems will crush you on the way down. So the best thing you can do is look at it like you are in training. You are accepting as many mistakes as you can to learn from them so you can get that much more wise about the way you play this game of life. That's what you want to do, man. It's not personal. This industry owes you nothing. No one put a gun at your head and said, hey, you be Jeff Seymour, man. No one did that. I did this on my own. I asked for this. This is what I wanted. So here I am now. And if it becomes a huge problem, well, you know what? I guess I could always change things. I could do something else. I could try another thing. If it brings me that much displeasure and is messing with my days, which is the most valuable thing that we have, maybe not so clear now, but I promise you on your deathbed will be crystal clear, too clear. If anything is going to get in the way of that, we have to find a way to behave and not just succumb to the sad assery of it all. It is that type of spirit. It is that type of person that we want to hire in our jobs. That's the type of person we want. We want warriors. We want courageous, amazing actors who can deliver no matter if there is snow, sleet, or rain. They are always there. They can always get the job done, and they're fun to have at a barbecue. It is supposed to be hard. If you don't know that, read the directions to the game. It's all over the place. There's skull and crossbones everywhere you look on this particular game. It is supposed to be incredibly difficult. It is supposed to knock you out. This is like for, serious players to play in this game. So if you're playing it, know it's supposed to be hard. There's going to be tons. On the board, as I mentioned, there's more bad spaces than good to land on. It is tricky. The dice are weird. They're misshapen. The cards are strange. And it's very difficult to even get a chance to pick one of these cards, which then can be something lousy. It is a really, really hard game to play. Show up to play that game. Show up to play that game and do it with spirit and grace. And I promise you, you will do way better. Always bring it back to this. Centering yourself up every time you see a problem, center yourself up. Say, ooh, this is a doozy. This is bad, bad news. Okay, let me first of all respect the bad news, whatever that is. Let me understand from the bad news, whatever that is. Let me get my lesson from that bad news, whatever that is. Now let me get rid of this extra weight, you see, because I'm on a mission and all this extra stuff is just going to bog me down. And I'm on a mission. I've got to be light on my feet. I've got to keep moving through this mission. So I'm going to cut all that stuff away, you see, and I'm just going to extract this good stuff, this stuff that makes me wiser, smarter, and in the end gives me more confidence because, you see, now I've done that. I've done that thing, and I see what that's like, and I know what that feels like. I'm smarter, wiser, and stronger for it, so now I'm just going to keep on moving, and that's how I'm going to play the game. And if you don't play the game that way, just know this. That's your choice. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to a Real Life Actor Podcast. This is Jeff Seymour. Real Life Actor Podcasts can be found on Spotify, Stitcher, iTunes, and Podomatic. The book, The Real Life Actor, can be found on Amazon.com in both paperback and Kindle. And if you happen to be in the Los Angeles area and you'd like to audit one of the classes, email me at jeff@reallifeactor.com. Thanks for listening.